You can go to Galatians 2. God bless you and good morning. It's a happy day. Every day that you can get up and say hello to the Lord, it's a happy day. We've been looking at different aspects of faith. We've been looking at the different facets of faith. We looked at faith as a power, and we talked about that in Matthew 11, how speaking unto the mountain, if you have faith to do that, that's received by God, you can do that. We looked at faith as a gift, Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We looked at faith as a fruit in Galatians 5:22. One of the fruit of the spirits. We noted the difference between a gift. I used the analogy of a Christmas tree. And the gifts under a Christmas tree. That they do not resemble the character of the tree. You know, but when you get to faith as a fruit. The fruit always resembles the character of the seed. And that seed there is of course the spirits. Fruit of the spirit. And then faith as a fruit is manifested through cultivation and hard work and time and effort and knowledge. You got to know what to do. You don't want to pour weed killer on your plant. You want to make sure you feed it with the right stuff. So we're going to look today at something I've entitled Faith as a Relationship. And I wanted to forewarn you, don't get hung up on titles because you can go nuts getting hung up on titles and trying to reconcile a teaching with a title. Okay? I don't know if I'm the only crackpot that does that, but don't. It's you call it what you want. I'm talking about faith as a relationship, faith as a fellowship, faith as it relates to our walk or fellowship or relationship to the Father. That's what I mean. In order to have faith as a relationship, you first must have faith as a seed. You must first have it as a seed, as sonship. In Galatians 2, in verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The word live and life is used a lot in that verse. But it's because of his faith. And then God gave us that faith as a gift. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, the New Revised Standard reads, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And again, that's his faith. You can put Galatians 2:16 and verse 20 there. You could also put Galatians 3:22 here. You could put 1 Peter 1:23, being born again of incorruptible seed, so on and so forth. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 12 now. So we're going to begin to explore faith as a relationship. And in Romans 12, beginning in verse 3, the American Standard reads, for I say through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man, and they translate it, a measure of faith. A measure of faith. God is the one who dealt out the faith. You can go to Ephesians and see that. It's through his gift that he gave us this. God is the one who does the dealing. God imparts to you the faith of Jesus Christ when you get born again. This faith is imparted to you as a seed. As a seed. In other words, you're born again of incorruptible seed. It's now your faith, okay? And what you do with it is up to you. This faith of Jesus Christ that he imparts to you as a seed is faith as it relates to seed, or faith as it relates to sonship. That's what I call it, okay? Okay, because that specific faith gets you in the family of God. Now in Romans chapter 1, my electric went out this morning, Miss Dolores. That's why I never finished my PowerPoint. You all don't know that, but do you all have electric where you were? So then we called them and they said, it's not going to be on until tomorrow at 10. Tomorrow, Monday. But it's on now. I put my generator on and I checked in. It's all better. But in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, the word live, it says the just shall live. That's a verb in verse 17. And it's the word Z-A-O. Z-A-O. All right? In the Greek. And metaphorically, what it means is to live with full vigor, to be fresh, to be strong. As an adjective, this word is used to be active, powerful. Efficacious is one of the words that it uses to describe it. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein, talking about the gospel, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. And I think that most people, when they read this verse, they cut it short, because I think most people think of the new birth. Because the just shall live by faith. Of course, it's talking about his faith that they're going to live by. And it's talking about the gospel of salvation, which includes the new birth, because the gospel of salvation brings to you the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what it takes to get born again in this day and time. However, to live by faith, listen up, to live by faith only begins with the new birth. It begins with the new birth. It says, the just one will live, will have full life, strength, power, vigor. This is why I called the title of this teaching, Faith as a Relationship. We live our lives by faith. It says, the just shall live by faith. We live our lives by faith. In other words, we live our lives by faith as it relates to our Father's righteousness and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the context is teaching. The faith of Jesus Christ, born within by incorruptible seed, places us in the family of God, the household of faith, thus making us the children of God, his sons and his daughters. Now, because we're born again, we have the ability to live life, every aspect of life, by this faith as it relates to God. See? Faith is a relationship. For no one has the faith of Christ that is not in relationship to the Father. He stands in relationship as a son or a daughter to God. In Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 4, just listen, you'll take all year to find it. Behold, his soul which is up is not, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. This verse is a prophecy that one day the just ones will live by his, by Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy of the Messiah, by Jesus Christ faith. Galatians 3, please. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. You see, It's not the just shall live by his faith, the individual's faith. The Bible says no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. It's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. For the just shall live by what? It's repeated again. It's also repeated in the book of Hebrews. And it's preceded by the hope of the return. The verse before it. The just shall live by his faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Please go back to Romans chapter 1. The just shall live by faith. Verse 17. The word just, J-U-S-T, in the Greek, is diakonos. And here, it's an adjective. The just shall live by faith. Hold your finger here and go to Romans chapter 5, please. In Romans 5, in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See? The word justified in Romans 5, verse 1, is diakono. Diakonos was an adjective form. Diakono here is the verb. Both words, just and justify, are in the same word family. They derive from the same root. One is simply a verb, the other is an adjective. The just shall live by faith. It's not talking about breath life, because an unbeliever has breath life. Okay? That's not the kind of life it's talking about. It says the just one, the righteous one, shall live by faith. Scripture reveals that there's another kind of life, a life of righteousness that has its source in God alone. That's the faith, that's the just, that's the life that it's talking about there. The only way you can receive this kind of life is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 3, please. See, it's talking more than just a new birth. Does it include the new birth? Absolutely. But it says the just shall live, shall live. Well, you got to think about this. What's involved in the word live? What's involved in the word life? There's a lot of aspects to living life, isn't there? Sure there is. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. Here, it's the same word that is in Romans 1:17, except here, this word is zoe, Z-O-E, because it's a noun. It's a noun, but it's the same word family. He gave this everlasting life, this everlasting zoe, life in its abundance, its efficacious, its fullness, its vitality, its vigor. It's alive, it's full, it's strong. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall not see. Well, that's not talking about the unbeliever because the unbeliever is living, right? So logically, it's got to be talking about two different kinds of life. And it's the life that has its source only in God through Jesus Christ. That's the life it's talking about, okay? It's not talking about the regular life of the natural man. It's talking about the life of faith, the life that is lived by faith. And in order to live a life by faith, you first must have to have faith that God measures out and imparts to you. Look at chapter 20. This is interesting. Verse 31, the Gospel of John. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what?
Life.
Life. You might have Zoe. Not just life, breath life, but this life that he came to make available to you. Zoe in his name. Now go to John chapter 10. Let me show you a verse that I thought I knew inside and out. And then I realized I know nothing. Now I talked to you about faith as a seed. And then I talked to you about faith as a relationship. Or you can call it faith as sonship or faith as fellowship, whatever way you want to understand it. But before you can have faith as for fellowship or faith for a relationship, you got to have faith as a seed, right? You got to receive it. Okay, here's John chapter 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Sandy used that verse earlier. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See? I am come that they might have life, faith as a seed, and that they might have it more abundantly, faith as a relationship. Jesus doesn't want you just to get born again, but Jesus wants you to live by faith. He wants you to enjoy all the fullness of what God has made available to you. It's right there in that verse. Ain't that neat? Faith as sonship is life. Faith as a relationship or fellowship is the more abundant life. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21. For to me, to live is what?
Christ.
Again, it's to live. And to die is gain. To live the kind of life that he made available is Christ. Colossians 3. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, that life that only finds its source in God and is only obtainable by his agent, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to get this kind of life. Then the essence of the gospel and the message in Romans 1 is that there is eternal life and that it has its source in God alone, and that God has made this life available to us in Jesus Christ. We can't go about justifying ourselves. We can't go about seeking our own righteousness. We can't go about doing any of these things. It is what God has made available to us in Christ. And as we receive the faith of Jesus Christ into our hearts, and we yield our lives to him in obedience, we receive the very life of God that's in him. The Spirit's alive. The Word of God is alive. It becomes living. It's the very life of God that's in Christ. Now, having received this new life that comes by the faith of Jesus Christ, how do we practically apply this in our day-by-day walk? Because that's what I'm always after. If you can't make it practical, it's not worth teaching. The answer is in the first chapter of Romans. In verse 17, it says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. In order to be just, in order to be righteous, in order to be saved, you got to be a son of God. That's the ones it's talking about now. The ones that are born again, the ones that are righteous, the ones that are justified, the ones that are sanctified, the ones that have the seed of Christ. They're going to live by faith. We live this new life that is given to us as a gift by faith. And that's what I mean when I say faith as a relationship, as we relate to God in line up with his word. Practically speaking, in Romans 1:17, the verb live is one of the most all-inclusive words that can be used. Everything we do is included in live or living. Drinking, for instance, that's part of life. I think of some people sleeping. That's part of life too. Working, that's part of life. And my all-time favorite, eating. That's also part of life, right? And you can add more to the list. It's live. It's a big word. I mean, what is it involved in live? We could stay here for all day and all night and say, well, it's this, it's that, it's my hairdo for women. Really, it's a lot of stuff. Through faith, every one of these commonplace activities can become a way to express the life of God that we have received within us. And this is very interesting, especially in light of his prayer this morning, because his prayer was perfectly lined up with what this teaching is all about. His prayer was, Jimmy, I'm talking about, his prayer was one of thanksgiving, one of gratitude. And then his prayer was one of specific, roof over our head, health, food to eat, this sort of thing. Now you think about that as I'm going along, and you'll see how God just had that prayer here this morning for you so they could further understand what I'm trying to explain to you. Commonplace activities can become a way to express the life of God that we have received within us. We wrongly assume many times that the mundane actions of daily living have no spiritual significance and offer no place for the application of our faith. We just go through life sometimes like drones. That's wrong. But to the contrary, Scripture teaches us that it's only after that we have applied our faith that the simple material areas of life that God, we apply our faith to just simple things of life, material things of life. Once after we do that, God makes place to promote us to higher responsibilities. He'll give us more. Luke says, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is what? And he that is unjust that is in least will be unjust in that which is much. Therefore, if you don't know how to take care of the unrighteousness of mammon, who's going to commit to your trust the true riches, right? Look at Romans 14. I'm going to teach Romans 14 one day because it really exposes the work of the devil in our lives. And the reason why it's so valuable, and I don't want to get awful on the tangent, but the reason why Romans 14 is so valuable to me and to you, all every one of you in here, is because we come from a place where we never even realized that we were sinning against God. That's what Romans 14 teaches. Verse 1 says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now that is like, I don't know what that is. Let me read it to you out of the NAS. Now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Now that's a good translation. Okay? Let me give you another one, the New Living. Accept Christians who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. And that's why this chapter is so revealing to us. Because for most of my Christian life, I would pick fights with people, or I would want to teach people the truth. The Bible says, accept them. It doesn't say chop them apart. It doesn't say debate with them. The Bible says, him that is weak in the faith, receive. You accept these people. You know why you accept them? Because they've been cleansed by the same blood you've been cleansed by. And who are you to pass judgment on somebody else? Or who are you to witness to somebody just so they can bring up a subject so you can rip them apart and think you're spiritual? You know who you are? I can't say because it's a bad word. It starts with four letters. It's a two-part word. The last part of the word is head. First part of the word starts with an S. I'll leave the rest to you. How in the world can you be programmed so unknowingly to be so critical and so judgmental of other people, all in the name of the love of God? Now that's a good trick. That's a good deception. You got no right. You got no right. You know, some people witness to people just so they can bring up something so they can sit there and argue with them. Listen, God loves those people. God's working in those people's lives. Those people are bringing people to Jesus Christ. Don't you worry about what you think you know. Don't you worry about how hot shot you think you are. You just let those people alone and love them. And if you keep your stupid mouth shut long enough, you may just learn something from them. Verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak, talking about being weak in the faith, eateth herbs. Okay? So you got a particular situation. It is not the only situation, but it is a particular situation for illustration so he can demonstrate his point. So he says, you know, you accept those people that are weak in the faith because they don't believe the way you do, but you don't accept them so you can argue with them. So one believes he can eat, or he wants to be a vegetarian. So you know what? Let him be a vegetarian. But don't start talking to him about being a vegetarian so you can shove a cheeseburger down his throat so you can prove how right you are. That's what they're saying. And on the other hand, if I choose to eat a cheeseburger, don't tell me I can't be right before God and judge me because you're a vegetarian and shove your vegetables down my throat. Unless it's a tomato on a cheeseburger. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't get tied up in this crap, and that's what it is. It's a trick from the devil. You want to be a vegan, you want to be a vegan, you want to be a vegetarian, you want to be a carnivore, be what you want to be, okay? But don't sit there and judge other people because they're not what you are. Don't do it. It's sin. It's wrong. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath what? God's received them. So if he's okay with God, who are you to say he's not okay? God's received them, right? Go down to verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats. It's talking to the whole flow as he's still weak in the faith. He doubts. And he thinks he's going to be damned if he eats. Because he eateth not of what?
Faith.
Now watch. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now he leaves the subject of food at the end. And he broadens, he makes this real broad statement. And he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now you must remember that God told Paul to start this epistle in chapter 1 talking about faith. In chapter 1, he talks about in the verse, obedience to the faith. Then he says, your faith. Then he says, mutual faith. Then he says, faith to faith. Then he says, the just shall live by faith. 6 times in the first 17 verses, he mentions the word faith. Okay, that's a lot. In verse 17, he says, the just shall live by faith. This is very clearly stated in positive terms. The just shall live by faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's a positive thing. This theme of faith, like others in the book, is revisited throughout the epistle. In Romans 14, the word faith is re-examined. And in Romans 14, it's used four times in that chapter. And when you get to the last verse of chapter 14, he makes this statement. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Here, at the end of the verse of chapter 14, he is simply stating the same principle that he started with in chapter 1, verse 17, where he said, the just shall live by faith. But here, it's stated from a negative point of view. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The lesson, no matter how you want to state it, whether in a positive way or in a negative way, positive, the just shall live by faith, negative, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. However you choose to look at it, is that faith comes from God's Son alone, and God's faith is the only basis for righteous living. That's the lesson. And he revisits that in Romans 10. For Christ is the end of the law. No, right. He don't say he's the end of the law. So we throw the law away. No. It says he's the end of the law for what? Righteousness. What were they doing? Going around making their own what? Righteousness. Right? You know what else is in chapter 10? The word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Right? There you go. Faith that comes from God and His Son is the only basis for righteous living. And this theme is laced throughout the Epistle of Romans. Verse 23 tells us to eat from faith. Now, if we're going to eat, do it from faith. Now, in light of what I just taught you, how can we practically apply this verse to our lives? Again, his prayer. A good place to start, how to practically apply eating from faith, okay? Living by faith, the just shall live by faith. A good place to start is to acknowledge that God is the source and he's our sufficiency, number one. God is our source and sufficiency of blessings, of life. Thus, everything we have, he has supplied us with. That means our health, our home, our work, and it also includes our food. It came from God. It's a gift from God. Second, we're going to eat from faith. We want to receive our meals with thanksgiving and recognize that he is the source from which our meals come. See, there's a difference between eating a meal and then eating a meal from faith. Faith as a relationship. As this food relates itself to God. As our faith relates itself to God with what we're doing, eating this meal. So what we do is we pray and we thank him for our food in the wonderful name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to go to. So we receive our meals with thanksgiving and we recognize that he's the source of it. And we pray and we thank him for our food in the name of Jesus Christ. That's eating from faith. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, pistis, it's a noun here, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from what? Don't eat meat. Well, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which, pistos, adjective, believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with what?
Thanksgiving.
For it is sanctified by the word of God in what?
Prayer.
Prayer. So we acknowledge that God is our sufficiency and that everything that He has supplied to us comes from Him. Our health, our home, our work, including our food. Second, we receive our meals with thanksgiving and we recognize Him as the source from which it comes. And we pray and we thank Him in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we receive this, listen, as we receive this food from God in faith, with prayer and thanksgiving, the food is supernaturally changed by God and it's sanctified. That's what it said in Timothy. It's sanctified. It becomes something holy. That word sanctified. It becomes something holy. And that is designed by God to do us good. Something takes place. Do you understand? It's supernatural when you do it by faith. As you relate yourself to God and follow His word and believe and act accordingly. You do it by faith. And then you recognize this is God. Everything I have is from God. It's not me. It's not my money. It's not my ability. It's not my prowess. It's from God. Without Him, I'm nothing. I am the vine. You leave the vine, you can do what? Nothing. Then you are thankful. You express it in prayers of thanksgiving. And as you do that, it's energized by God through faith. And that food, that wonderful, gorgeous, juicy cheeseburger becomes a good thing to eat. He takes all of the bad things out of it, and when you eat it, it does good for you. You understand? That's what it is. And there's many, many records and many lessons and many testimonies where things were poisoned and this and that, and people followed this and they ate by faith, and God was able to make it something holy to do good to that person. We receive food from God in faith with prayer and thanksgiving. It's supernaturally changed by God and it's sanctified. It becomes something holy and it's designed by God to do us good. Even if there are impure and harmful ingredients in our food, their effect is nullified by our faith expressed in our prayers of thanksgiving. How do you like that? But you know what? We just walk around and like, duh. And walking around, duh, is living life. But walking around, realizing, having this living in your mind, knowing what can transpire, is living life more abundant. It's faith by relationship. You see it? Look at Matthew 4. Come on, we do this every day. If you pray, you pray breakfast, you pray at lunch, you pray at dinner, and it just becomes, oh, it's a routine, oh, it's a... No, the devil's talking you out of it. You're not eating from faith anymore. You're not believing God's word anymore. You're not practicing God. You don't relate to God. You don't have that relationship hot and flowing anymore. You've been talked out of it. And the reason why it's just food for you is because you let the devil talk you into it. It's just food. It's something that's actually made holy to give you strength. We're going there next. Matthew 4, verse 4. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone. By bread alone. So we do need bread to live. To live. Through faith, even a commonplace meal can become a way to express the life of God that we have received when we eat. Now there's a final aspect I want to bring to your attention. Final aspect today, not that it's the final say on everything, but the final that I want to bring to your attention today. What is the result of bread? For we don't live by bread alone, right? Now, because you got to think about this. Well, okay, bread. The result of bread is life. We don't live by bread alone. If you don't have any bread, it's not going to be very long that you live, right? The result of bread is life. It produces life. You need bread. You need food to live, correct? And everything that goes along with that physical part of life. It, to develop so you're healthy, you understand? Eating from faith has another implication that goes beyond the supper table. It starts at the supper table, but it goes beyond the supper table. Our food is the source of our natural strength, right? And God is the source of our food. So logically speaking, if God is the source of our food, then God is the source of our strength. Then our strength, like our food, is a gift from God. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Our strength and our food is a gift from God. 1 Corinthians 10:26 simply states, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Does that cover it? It belongs to who? It's God's. He determines to share it with you. If this is true, that verse, and if our food and our strength belong to God, then our food and our strength that belong to God should not be used in a selfish way. Because we are under obligation to God to devote our food and our strength to His service and glory. You can go read about chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, the Lord's meal and all that stuff. I don't have time, but that's the context. Were they devoting it to His service and glory? Absolutely not. No, they were not. They were talking about one eats before the other and nobody has something to eat. No. The love feast. Okay? Look, if the food belongs to God, then the strength we derive from the food belongs to God, then we should use that to praise God. We should use that to bless God. We should use that to glorify God. We shouldn't eat like a bunch of pigs and just sit around and do nothing for the Lord. I know that's a hostile way of saying it. Okay, piggies, okay? Is that better? We shouldn't fill our stomachs full like the wing bowl. How many wings did that guy eat? Jeez. That doesn't glorify God, right? It glorifies the sponsors. It glorifies Him. And if we're going to eat and we get strong, even and some if we have extra, we should go to help people. We should that should make us strong for service. I want to get a good night's rest so that I can serve God's people. That's utilizing food from faith. You understand? That's utilizing food to glorify God. Not to go to a bar somewhere, sit around and slosh down a bunch of drinks and eat a bunch of chicken wings and act like a jerk. That's misuse of faith. That's eating not from faith. And anything that's not from faith is what? It's sin. See? That's what that is. But we forget who we are. We forget who we represent. We forget this transaction. I tried to bring this back to you guys a couple months ago. The connection that we need to have with God. Stop with this, I can do all things, I got the Spirit of God. Without God, you can do nothing. With Him, you can do everything. With who all things are possible? God. But we got this whole thing going on about how great we are apart from God, and then we're like wayward children apart from parents that raised them and loved them. See? Don't be like that. Look at verse 31. We are not free to use our food or our strength in a selfish way, but we are under obligation to devote it to God's service and His glory. Verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the what?
Glory
of God. See? In this way, through faith, even our daily meals are transformed into something holy, which we can partake of for the glory of God. This is nothing new. This is not new light revealed to me. This was present and practiced at the beginning of the church. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from what? House to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be what? There was something unique. There was something special about how those first century Christians ate their meals, that it gained them favor with their unconverted neighbors and helped win some to the Lord. That's what that verse says. Read it. What was it? You know what it was? They were eating from faith. They'd recognized the importance of it. It just wasn't a meal. It just wasn't something before you sit down and before you go to pray, the kids got the stuff in their mouth. No. It was special. And that prayer of thanksgiving and that prayer of recognition actually brought the life of God, the blessing of God, down into that food and changed that food into something holy that gave them strength, power, and vigor so that they could live a life full of it. There's a positive and a negative side from eating from faith. I want to close in Ecclesiastes, please. So you see, I hope this morning that when you read that phrase, the just shall live by faith, it's bigger to you now. And that you understand that it's not the new birth only, but that's the beginning. But it's talking about all of your aspects of life. You understand? All of life in its fullness. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 17. Talking about the man that doesn't eat from faith. All his days also he eateth in what?
Darkness.
And he has much sorrow and wrath with his what? You see? You know people like that, that eat, that sit, that don't thank God, that don't recognize God. They eat, but they're eating in darkness. They eat, and that food is not supernaturally changed that it brings health to your body. Well, if I had time to sit here and talk to you about the communion, and that being supernaturally changed, that you could actually eat health and wholeness to your body. Right? When you do it from faith. There's a lot of things that the word to live by faith, to just shall live by faith, that you can apply to. Food's just one of them. Every activity we apply our faith to becomes permeated with divine life. It is no longer drab or commonplace, but becomes new, fresh, and exciting, and can become an opportunity to express our thanksgiving, our worship, our joy, and our praise for our Lord and Savior and for our God. Try the next time that you financially give to give from faith, and see if God will not open up the windows of heaven, then pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. You see, he calls it a cheerful heart. Okay? So I trust that will help you get the CD. There's a lot in there, I know. But you go over it, you'll see it. But God wants the just, and we are the just ones, to live by faith. To live by faith. So every aspect of our life, we should be in relationship with our Father. We should be in fellowship with our Father and live the way He wants us to live. Amen?